Welcome to Lofu Fitness Lifestyle Podcast, Episode 2, Preparing to Become a Fitness Teacher. Now, this is really great because I've got three amazing people with me today. I should have Catherine Razamoskaya, who is my co-presenter, but she's away at the moment doing some other things, and she sends her love but can't be with us today. So today I'm going to tell you who we've got with us. I've got three people who I've worked with for a very long time, trained up, and they've become good teachers in their own right. So the first person I've got here is, introduce yourself, girl.
My name is Sheila Cullerton. I've been doing fitness with Noelle for in excess of 20 years.
Wow, that's some time. I won't disclose her age. But
I'm 21. She's
21 again. And then in my studio here, we've got, introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Kate Lane. I'm the new kid on the block. I've been doing Lofu Fitness for around 3 years.
Okay, Kate, so then we've got the third person, which is, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Karen. I've been part of Lofu Fitness for around 20 years as well.
Wow. And we're not going to disclose any ages here, but let's say that these girls look great. They all look great. And, you know, they've all got children. So, yeah, they've had that whole childbirth thing going on there, and they still look great. But today we're going to talk about being a teacher and becoming a new teacher and how daunting it is, if it's daunting at all. Me, I remember when I did my first classes over 30 years ago, it was dawning for me. I found it pretty much hard work when I was doing them. Because I wanted to be a really good teacher. My instructor was a pretty good teacher, and I wanted to be as good as him. And so I worked really hard. I remember each time I taught his class, because that's what he did. He gave me snippets of his class to teach, and I had butterflies every single time. And back then, he had a routine, and it was the same routine that we did for years and years and years and years. So it was really easy for me to remember, but still, I found it with all these eyes. If you remember, if you've got 20 people in the class, that's 40 eyes looking at you. And man, 40 eyeballs are staring down at just you is a nerve-wracking thing. But, you know, I had to get over that, and then I've got the music, and the music that's got me through it, and it was great. But it's not about me today. It's about these three girls and their experiences, and they're going to give you some great ideas. And although we are Lofu Fitness, and you're listening to the Lofu Fitness Lifestyle Podcast, I may add that we're going to be talking about some pretty general things. So any advice that these girls give you, it could be adapted and used on any fitness workout. So I'm going to throw it over to the new girl on the block to start with, and that's Kate Lane. So Kate, how did you prepare for your first class? And first of all, tell me, when was your first class? You don't have to give a precise date, but what period? Was it 2, 3, 4 years, a week ago? Or?
It was, I think it was May. So, when are we now? So about 8 months ago?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that.
Was it, it was one of my classes. Which one, can you remember which one it was?
It was a Friday class.
I gave you a Friday class. Right. So I have a Friday class, which is a small room, and we have about maximum of maybe 15 at the maximum people in there, and they're hardcore people. Friday night's the night where people tend to go out and they want to do their socializing thing after work and stuff. So you don't get big classes. So that 15 in the hall is great. It's good numbers on a Friday night. And I was doing, I don't know what I was doing, but Kate was teaching. I asked Kate to teach that class for me. And so tell me your story, girl.
Well, I think I took a lot of inspiration from how we prepared for certification. So we were given a template there, and I used that as my basis. So I knew roughly how much of a workout I needed to have to fill the time. And I thought about...
Kate, I just want to come in there. Could you tell me what tell the folks out there what a template is?
So a template is basically breaking down the routine that you're going to do into sections. So we start in our particular workout with a stretch, and then you start with the kind of more basic moves, and the class builds and becomes more complex and higher tempo as you go on. So when we certified, we were given a template to learn and to use as the basis for preparing our classes. What I did was take the template we'd been given, and one of the things that I really love about the workout we do is that we're encouraged to put our own stamp on it. We're encouraged to put a bit of ourself into it. So rather than it just being a completely generic workout, you turn up to a class and it's the same thing week in, week out. There's so many different ways that it can be put together, so many different combinations. So, and also when you take into account the fact that different teachers have different backgrounds, different things that they want to work on, it every time is different, you know, the sky's the limit really. So when I was preparing my class, I thought about the things that I like best, what I really want to get out of my class. I thought, it's my first class. If I'm not enjoying it, how will the people I'm teaching enjoy it? So I really wanted to make it something that I was going to find exciting and energising and get that good energy out into the class.
I hear that. That's great. So you said that enjoyment. What I did, when I'm teaching, I really enjoy my class on the back of the music. What floats your boat? What is it? What is the thing? Is it teaching? Does the fact that you're teaching makes you really enjoy the workout?
I think so. I think as well, it's a chance for me to think about what my fitness goals are, what I'm trying to achieve. And I feel like I'm going on a journey. I might think, right, these are the things that I want to work on. These are the things where I feel I need to put a bit more effort in. These are the places where I'm struggling. And it gives me an opportunity to push myself and bring the people on the journey with me.
Okay, got that, Kate. And so, who wants to come in next? Yeah? Sheila or Karen?
I'll talk next, if you like. I can't remember my first class, because it was that long ago. But from teaching class then to teaching class now, I have learned how to structure better. I've learned how to cue better. But what I get from the class is actually the enjoyment from other people. I like watching the class members and then encouraging them. When they're struggling, I like to encourage and keep smiling at them so that they know I might be struggling too, but hopefully they pick up the fact that we're all working hard together and it comes across as a good class. I'm still nervous every time I take a class, but once the class starts and the first 5 minutes are over, I think I relax a bit more and the natural flow takes over. Preparation is a key part for me. If I haven't written down most of the class, if I haven't listened to the music that I'm going to work out to, and if I haven't worked out to the class music altogether, I won't have a very good class. So,
do you work out with anybody prior to the class? Do you have family or friends that you work out with before you put it into action with everybody in the class?
I do have my daughter at home, who also does low food fitness, but I would make sure that I practice the class first by myself, get the sections right, get the links right.
Even before you practice it with your daughter?
Even before I practice it with my daughter. Otherwise, she would be highly critical of what her mother was doing. So I like to avoid the criticism and give her a reasonably good class, knowing that if I practice on her, I can give the actual class a much better rendition of what we should be doing.
Okay, Karen, give me your take on this.
Well, I really, really do like to prepare before I do any class, and that also includes any low food fitness class I attend. If there's any moves I particularly like and enjoy, I will go home and write them down. I have a book that I make notes of all the different moves I like. So when I come to write a template for a class that I am teaching, I will have a look and just see what moves I would like to put into that particular class. I think it's also important that the moves that you're putting together actually flow together, that you can move into each different routine or different punch or kick, and that it just flows really nicely.
Yeah.
I think also one of the things I've learnt as a teacher is mainly to smile and for people to smile back at you.
Without a doubt.
I think that's really important, and that's a big thing that I've learned through this whole process, and it's a real confidence boost as well. To start a class, it is very nerve-wracking, but when you get to the end, you just feel fantastic, and it's really great that that the members of the class can come up to you and say, wow, that was a really good class, because if I do any fitness class, I want to go out on a high. So I think it's really important to give that, and for your people that you're teaching, so that they leave on a high as well and want to go, yeah, I want to come back for more next time. So I think that's really good.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So we've heard from all three of you. And what I want to do is help some of the teachers out there that are out there. So we run a certification, and we're training people all the time to become great teachers. But this is not solely for low food fitness people. And if you're listening to this low food fitness lifestyle podcast and you're not one of our teachers, then don't despair. This can be for you also. So what I'm going to ask you, the three of you, to do now is to give some tips out there, some real tips. Like, for instance, what you mentioned, the smiling, and that's a great thing, Karen. If you smile, people will smile back at you. They've even proven this, that even if you smile down the phone, the person on the other side will smile straight back at you. How they did that at that test, I don't know. You know, you give a smile and it sends out an energy that you're warm and you're approachable. So you mentioned that. Is there anything any of you can mention? I'm going to go back to Kate. Is there anything, any advice you can give these teachers out there that are starting out, what they can do to help themselves?
I think I touched on this briefly before. I think it's having the real passion and real belief in what you're doing. And I think if you have that, it, like you said, Noelle, people can hear that coming across in your voice. They can see it in your face. If you are up there enjoying it and you really believe and are putting all your energy into the workout, it comes across. I've done a lot of different fitness classes in my time. I've been to fitness conventions. A workout can be great, but if the person who's teaching it doesn't believe it, and if they're just up there going through the motions, you know, their voice is monotonous, they've got a completely neutral facial expression, it just takes any enjoyment out of that workout. If you've got
I want to jump in there, because we experienced that not so long ago, didn't
exactly.
We? Because we went to Blackpool and we were presenting at Blackpool, and there was a Bokwa workout, and the first one I didn't see. I saw the tail end of it, and you guys were raving on about it. You said what a great workout this was, and then that was the guy teaching.
That was the guy teaching. That was me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the Bokwa class.
Yeah, you really
the guy
enjoyed
was
it.
Fantastic. He was engaging with everybody in the class. You could see that he was thoroughly enjoying himself and really enjoying the workout. The music was brilliant, it was loud. And then the next day we had another teacher who was a lady, and she just didn't have the enthusiasm of the guy, and the class was no way near as full. I mean, I stopped halfway through. I just gave up.
Yeah.
But the guy was brilliant. So it really does prove that the teacher is the key to the class.
Absolutely. The class will feed off whatever energy you put out there.
Mm.
So if you're putting out there that, oh, I'm tired, I'm not really up for this today, I'd really rather be somewhere else. Even if you're not saying that, it will come across. But if you're thinking, do you know what, this is a great workout, we're going to really push ourselves, we're going to really do our best, put all our energy into it, then the class will feed off that. They will feel that.
And sure.
You have the power to bring a class up, but you also have the power to bring that class down. So it's it's a position of real responsibility.
Well,
but having said that, it's not in terms of pressure. It's a real privilege.
Yeah.
Can I just say as well about Blackpool? I think it really showed when Low Food Fitness were on the stage on the Sunday morning, the class did, because the class was quite early in the morning. I think it was about 9:30. So it was fairly early.
People had been out the night before.
They had been out the night before in the bar. And a few people came to the Low Food Fitness class at the start. But as soon as the music started and Noelle and Kate and Catherine started the workout, the class by the end of that hour was full, and people just put their head around the door, saw what was going on. There was nothing else like that at Blackpool, was there? Mm. And people just came in and just started working out, and it was great to watch, to see all these people coming in and just putting their bag down and just, you know, just enjoying the class. It was great.
It was like the Pied Piper.
That was what actually attracted me to Noelle's classes in the first place. It was the music. I was going to a centre and doing another class. So I went into the centre, turned left, did my class, came out, and there was this music going. And I was thinking, what's that? So looked in the door, saw what was going on, saw this packed class. And I thought, do you know what? Next week, I'm going to go in the door, turn right. And that was me hooked.
Yeah. The rest is history.
The rest is history, absolutely.
Can I come in about the music for a moment? Catherine Razumovskaya, a great teacher. You know, I admire that girl because she now is, when I go away, in fact, I admire all the teachers around me right now. You know, I'm doing you three an injustice if I say I admire her on her own. But I will just say this, when Catherine has awesome classes right now, but the biggest single complaint I get is that sometimes her music could be a little bit too hard. And this is the thing, you see. I know I have three ladies in here, and they have totally different music tastes. Totally different music taste. And we got Kate Lane laughing because she knows she's got the worst taste of all.
Definitely the worst.
That's a matter of personal taste.
All right, let me tell you, Kate Lane. People get annoyed when I say Kate Lane, but for me, that name's awesome, man. It's like a movie. It's like a movie star, Kate Lane. How can you get a name like that?
There is an actress called Kate Lane.
Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised, man. It just rolls off your tongue. It's smooth. It goes together. Anyway, Kate Lane, she, music taste is the cheesiest pop music.
Can I just interject? Prior to this podcast, we were listening to some of Mr. Smith's own music, which included Mystique, Pussycat Dolls.
Mystique is hot.
Britney Spears.
Well, Britney Spears.
I rest my case.
All pop, I believe.
Yeah,
but there were serious mixes. there were serious mixes. But I come back. What I wanted to mention is that you've got to have the right music for the right place. So, for instance, if I went to Blackpool and I put in one of my hard trance or one of my heavy drum and bass stuff, it wouldn't have gone down that well. The point I'm making is that I can have all my mixes on my iPod. So wherever I go, I say, hey, that's not the place for this. I can use that. That's not the place for that. I can use this. And when I went there, it was very northern England, and they want the pop stuff. However, if you listen to my mixes, and please go to where's the place? Go to SoundCloud, because every so often we put a new mix on SoundCloud, and you can download that for free. And please, if you go to SoundCloud, download it. Have you all done that yet? The latest mix?
No.
Go and download it, because I don't keep it on there. Yeah, I don't keep it on there. I only put one mix on there. You go to SoundCloud and look at these other guys' sites and they've got 100 mixes on there. I don't do that. I have one mix on there at a time, download it, I take it off.
So what do we need to look up to go onto SoundCloud?
Well, if you go to the Club Energize website, go down to the bottom, there's a whole load of things, including Facebook and button and Twitter button. Mm-hmm. And just click on the SoundCloud one. It's a yellow one with a cloud, orange with a cloud on it. Just click on that. It takes you straight to the page. Download it. Yeah. It's also I've put the latest mix on Facebook. So as we're speaking now, it's on Facebook.
Great.
Yeah. So just go there and download that. But I had to play the pop mix, and the pop mix that I played was, I always have the alternative mixes, the ones that you don't get on the radio, the ones that have, and if there's a tune I really like and it's a bit light, when I say light, it's a bit wishy-washy, then I can, there's some firecrackers going outside in my studio. What's going on, man?
It's not New Year's yet.
No, it's not New Year's. Anyway, so if the music's a bit light, I could put it into one of my programs and put some beats over it and make it a little heavier. And people are often asking me, how do I get hold of that track? And I give them the title of the track, and they come back to me and said, yeah, I downloaded that track, but it weren't the same, because I always do stuff to my music to make it a little bit more powerful for the classes. So, all right, I've kind of diverse, but the point I'm making is that if, Kate, you took your class into, what's an area I could think of? Brixton,
mm-hmm.
Yeah? So say I have a class for you to teach at Brixton. My sister used to teach in Brixton, and you went with that pop stuff. They'll boo you off the place. So you have to have the right music for the right people.
Mm.
Just like you've got to have the right moves for the right people. You go to a class and they're all beginners. You can't go giving them advanced exercises. You've got to give them beginner exercises. The music's the same. If you go to a place where they like their music, you have to read the people quite early, quite quick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm. So the music, yeah, really important. And
I think it's just about making the class accessible to your particular audience.
Sure.
I would just like to bring us back to what Kate was saying earlier, ways in which you can plan and get your class motivated. For you as a teacher, it's a good idea not to run before you can walk. I've learned through experience that you need to keep basic moves throughout the whole thing. Don't try and put a combination in, say 10 minutes into the whole class. It will fall flat, and then you have to try and pick yourself back up. So do the basics, build on the basics, and maybe not put a combination in at all. If it's not going to work, then there's no point in having it. So that was my top tip. I'd also like to add that I think you should know your sound system. Lots of centres have different sound systems, and if you're new to a centre, try and go to your room beforehand, arrive in plenty of time, and know what equipment and how the equipment works. That is also going to help your class go with a bang.
I think it will help your confidence as well. If you're confident that everything's working and when the
Very
class
true.
Arrives, you're ready to go, then I
Absolutely.
Think, again, that's going to be something that they're going to be able to read through you.
Yeah, because you've relaxed as much as possible beforehand so that, yeah, when the class arrives, you can go straight into class.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think preparation is key to make sure that you actually know what you're teaching your class. Because if you actually know what you're teaching, you're confident, you know what you're doing, and that will come across when you are actually teaching. I think that's really important.
So you're talking move for move, don't you? So if you put a set of moves together, you know what's coming directly after that, and
That's
after
right.
that, and after that, and
I
after
do.
That.
And then yeah. I do have the template. I always take it with me to class. I think I just have it there for comfort. If I do need to refer to it, it's there. But 9 times out of 10, I don't need to. But I think it's just nice. I know it's there if I need to use it.
Karen, you're absolutely right. I don't need to do that anymore. I've been teaching for years and years and years, so I can walk into a studio and just do it off the top of my head. But when I have so much going on in my life, and sometimes there is so much happening because there's many different avenues to low-food fitness and low-food in general, that I don't have the brain capacity for that. So I always have a backup workout, which I know from end to end without having to think about anything. And that's a great workout to have, because you can just go in there and teach without having to think about what move's coming next and what's coming next and what's coming next. It's just a natural workout that I have. So I have my own template.
Yeah, I recently taught a class and had about 3 hours to prepare, but because I knew the template one off by heart, I was able to use that in the class and it all went fine because I knew that and I was confident with that particular template.
I think I completely agree with what Karen said. We're like peas in a pod. We like to prepare to the nth degree. But something that I've learned, I always, again, have a template with me, and in the beginning, I would stick to that template. It was like my safety net, and as long as it was there, I felt confident. I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew I had enough of a workout to fill the time. But as I've gained some more experience with teaching and I've got more confident and more comfortable doing it, I find that I still have the template there. I still pretty much know it off by heart, but I don't feel I'm a slave to that template anymore. So I think you read the class. So if you have a particular move or combination of moves on your template, but you find that the class isn't perhaps ready for that, going in another direction is going to be better, I feel comfortable to do that now. So I may have like a combination of kicks, and I think, actually, do you know what? Some of the people were having some problems and could do with some more work on their punching techniques. So rather than thinking, oh, but it's not on the template, I have to stick to the template, I would go with what I feel the needs of the class are at that time.
Mm, that's very true. You have to make sure that the class are your priority. That's the whole reason you're there. It's not for your benefit that you're working out. Mm. It's for the class's benefit. So if they're not getting what you're trying to get across to them, then you have to change your styling.
It's flogging a dead horse, isn't it?
It could be. Sometimes it could be.
And another thing that I've kind of learned is that when you're up there teaching a class, you need to teach it. I think the first few classes I did, I stood at the front and did a workout in front of people. And you gradually learn that you don't need to do every single move. What you need to do is teach the people, be there to give instruction and guidance to people.
Noelle.
You're there to guide people, you're there to lead them, but that doesn't mean that you literally have to stand there and do the entire workout. And I did that for the first couple of classes. I was scared stiff to do or say anything other than count to eight.
Kate, you've exactly described my classes from start to finish in the early days. I hope not quite so much now, Noelle, but I do still feel that I need to work at the same level as the class I'm expecting to work.
Yeah.
Recently, having been injured, that has forced me to do that. So I can still teach a class, but I wouldn't necessarily be able to put together eight counts of eight of one particular move. I could do one, then my injury is still okay, but I need to then remember I am injured and not force myself to do too much, but encourage the class to do the rest.
I think, Karen. As well that when you are a teacher, you don't necessarily have to stand at the front. It's important if somebody is struggling on a particular move that you can go over to that person and actually help and show them what the move is. Whereas you can't do that with one person if you're at the front of the class the whole time. And I think that helps and encourages a lot of people in the class.
Definitely. And that's something that I personally feel I need to do more of. I do feel a little bit like I'm rooted to the spot at the front of the class. and I need to have more confidence that if I leave that point, that little spot, the class isn't going to fall apart. But something else that I have learned, when I first started teaching, I felt that I had to be absolutely perfect the entire time. And that doesn't always happen. Sheila can well testify that I have messed up on several occasions.
Yeah, but, as we all have, Kate,
But you know, Kate, that was, in my opinion, that was a plus on your behalf, because if you are aiming for that perfection and you need to be perfect, when you dip, your dip isn't as low as somebody who doesn't feel they need to be perfect. So that was always a plus for me with you.
Absolutely. I think the point I'm trying to make is that if you make a mistake, it doesn't have to let the whole class fall apart. I think, obviously, strive for perfection, but you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be real.
Okay, that's true. Let me tell you something, right? And no one gets offended by this, because this is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Sheila first. Sheila, Kate, Karen. And that's in personality that you bring over to the class, right? However, you all three of you are learning from each other. And that's a great thing, because you're all rubbing off each other now. I can look at you, and this is the initially, yeah? When I see you guys teach initially, I say, Sheila's got a whole bundle of personality. Go up there and use it. And you all got personality, but it goes down in stages in that way. Sheila, Kate, Karen. But now it's just leveling out, yeah? Because you spend so much time with each other and seeing each other teach, it's just leveling out. It's great. It's great. I see a lot of personality come up. Remember, Karen, when you were doing a class or teaching or whatever, and I used to smile in front of you because you didn't have that naturally?
Yes,
and
I did.
You, in fact, you have that naturally. She's smiling right now, right? Got a big grin on her face right now. And that's a smile that you need to bring over, because that makes me smile, and that makes Kate smile, makes
Sheila.
That's Sheila. Hey, Kate, well, I want to mention something, Kate, because I've been looking at these things all night now, and I just keep forgetting. I've been going somewhere and make it. Oh, by the way, they're in my office that I have in Reigate, just on the outskirts of London. And we're here, and I cook these guys a meal. This is why we're doing this podcast. I cook these guys a meal, and in my office here, yeah, because I've got a stove and all kinds of things to cook the meal on, and it's great. It's great. But all night I've been looking at these earrings, and I keep saying, man, those earrings are eye catching, and I've not. I had, every time I said I'll go to say something about it, I've got to catch the food and do this and do that and be here and there. And so, but okay, these earrings, let me describe these earrings because you can't see them. Are they silver?
They're diamonds.
They're real diamonds.
Diamante. They're not real diamonds, Kate. They're costume jewellery, darling.
Well, listen. We have a lady
imitation
here.
Diamonds.
We have a lady here that deals in diamonds. Karen, are they diamonds?
They are no way near diamonds.
Oh, but Kate, they're beautiful.
Okay.
Like them.
All right. Kate's a very sensitive person. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. She reminds me of my daughter, Tian. Anyway, they're lovely earrings.
Thank you very much.
But would you wear those teaching?
No.
Because that's what I'm going to come on to next.
No.
I'm going to come on to next. I'm going to come on to about clothes. Because I'll tell you why. Because clothes make me feel good. Yeah? Make me feel so great. And you guys will see me in my stuff and you think, hey, no, wear the same stuff every time. You know why? Because the guy, I would like to have different colours. But the guy, I'm not going to mention his name, I'm going to be liable and get be sued and stuff. But anyone who's into fitness clothing and have been around for the past 20 years or plus would know this guy, and it is a guy, and he is amazing. He makes stuff for guys and girls, and it just fits, and it lasts forever. It's like an Apple Mac, but in clothes. But the thing is, the guy is unreliable. He's so unreliable. Anyway, we fell out because he was making some stuff for us. He got it wrong, and he wouldn't he wouldn't accept the return and he wouldn't take responsibility for it. So I said, that's it. No, don't want any more stuff from you. So I knew this was going to happen. So I ordered a whole lot of shirts from him and a whole lot of pants or trousers or shorts from him. And I just wear those all the time now. And they make me feel good. It's a great material. It hangs well on me. And it's made to measure. It's made to fit me. And I've got a slim waist. I've got a 28-inch waist. Could you believe that? A 28. I can't even buy trousers or pants, whichever you guys call it. If I buy these things off the rack, they just fall off me. Because I like my legs. I like the... You seriously, I like the legs. I was reading Arnold Schwarzenegger's book. And he had the same problem. He goes to the shop. He buys a pair of trousers off the rack. They sell him old man pants. Because he wants the legs to be baggy, because he don't want them tight on his legs. But he wants them tight around the waist. That pair of trousers don't exist. You have to get it made, yeah? You have to get a 28 waist weight. I could get away with a 30, but I have to get a belt and pull it in. But anyway, that's me. So coming back to the fitness side of things, clothes and your groom, which is, I don't wear a beard. And so I need to make sure that my face is clean. Yeah, Kate Lane's pointing. I don't wear a beard either. But my face has got to be clean. I've got to be nice and groomed and feel great for my class. And that makes me feel better. And if I feel good, I'm going to teach great. So throwing it out to the three of you girls, does that have a bearing on your teaching? And if it does, can you give some advice?
I think so. I mean, I...
Who are you?
Who am I?
I'm Kate. That's Kate Lane.
When I'm teaching, I want to feel like I look good and presentable and smart. But at the same time, I don't want things getting in my way. I mean, I wear jewellery, I wear makeup. But not when I'm teaching, because I don't want to be halfway through the class and like smearing makeup over my face when I'm sweating, because believe me, we sweat.
Can't you get the waterproof stuff? Because I know teachers who smother themselves in that stuff and they look great.
What are you trying to say, sorry?
I'm just trying to say that you're giving the advice. That is this the advice just applicable to you?
Because this is my personal opinion.
Okay, fine.
And if people choose to wear makeup while they're working out, then great. But personally for me, I want to be concentrating on the workout and not thinking, oh God, makeup smearing and my hair's all in my face and I can't see what I'm doing. Like, hair's tied back, makeup's off, and... Yeah, I mean, you can get some fantastic workout clothing now. And Karen said when we were in Blackpool recently, there were some people wearing some really gorgeous things, like these lovely kind of slouchy off-the-shoulder T-shirts, which looked fabulous. But all I could think was, that's a lot of fabric flapping around and getting in your way. And for me, it's something I don't want to be thinking about. I just want to be concentrating on my technique, doing the best workout I can, and not thinking, oh, my clothes are getting in the way and my hair's flapping.
Yeah, I hear you. Definitely.
So it's exactly the same as what you said, Noelle, that you need to feel comfortable in the clothing you're wearing.
And for me, when I'm teaching or when I'm working out generally, I strip it back. It needs to be clean. It needs to be simple.
Mm-hmm.
Karen works out in a thong.
And nothing else. Song
only, yeah.
I get a lot of men in my class.
Good on you, Karen. If you can pull it off. It's your USP, your new unique selling point.
Hey, I tell you what, Karen's... Who is she? Who is Mylan to you?
Family.
Mylan is family, yeah. And I mean, I DJ, because I used to DJ, I used to do that stuff. And it's hence the music, my music skills. And I DJed that. In fact, Mylan's wedding was the single last DJing gig I did. After that, I retired from DJing. And Karen, man, she was wearing something. And the only thing I remember, there's two things I remember that night, was... The cake that they had in that thing, because it was in fact a whole food, because it was Mylan is what, where's she from?
Mylan, isn't she from, she's Chinese originally.
Mylan is Chinese and her husband
is Indian.
Her husband, you think about this, Chinese and Indian food all mixed into it. Was a fabulous. Good. So the food was good, and then Karen's legs. Oh my goodness. And I'm a leg man. I just said to her, to myself, her husband has got some serious treat. I'm not kidding to you. You guys all out there, those legs were amazing. Absolutely. Well, I say were. They still are. Yeah. I'm just saying that because we're talking about dress code and stuff like that and thong. But we're all joking aside. What do you wear, Karen, when you work out?
I prefer to wear shorts or just above the knee leggings. I find that leggings I get too hot in, but I prefer shorts. Really, as they're cool, and just a low food fitness vest top, and I'm happy bunny. Hair back, clean face, and I'm ready to go.
I've introduced a few people to shorts, and because most women, we're in England and it's a predominantly cold country, we have some sun, but only for about 3 months if you're lucky, and most of the girls wear leggings. They call them leggings. And it's lycra pants, and it goes from, some of them wear all the way down to your ankle and some wear to the knees. And it's generally that, knees or ankle. But I encourage them to get the shorts, as Karen was talking about, because it gives them a lot. Our class, right, I can't say for other classes, because we've just come from a convention in Blackpool, which we spoke about earlier on. And all the workouts that we saw, you didn't work up much of a sweat. Yeah, they were interesting, but you didn't work up much of a sweat. Our workout, you sweat. You're going to come into our workout and you're going to sweat hard. So I encourage the girls to wear shorts, because it actually makes the experience much more pleasurable than having all this sweat around your legs and in material and stuff. And the people who I have, who have been bold enough to go on to the short things, because women, not just women, guys as well, don't like to do this stuff because they don't want to show their legs. They might have cellulite here, or they might have the legs might be a little bit too big or out of shape, and they're not proud of showing them. I think all legs and all women are beautiful. So you just come in, show your legs, get some air to those legs, stimulate them a little, and within no time they'll shape up if they're not shaped already. So the women I've asked to do this have done it, and they won't go back. They won't go back to long pants.
No, I won't go back to long pants.
Because the freedom of having shorts is second to none. Absolutely second to none. So what about the rest of the other two? What about Kate and Sheila?
Shorts, I have to say, are not my preference. If pushed, I would wear... But, yeah, not my preference. I prefer a three-quarter legging. It covers a multitude.
As I just said.
Exactly. Some can do it, some can't. Karen can. Sheila can't. Kate, can you?
No.
Well, before you go on, Kate, we have a DVD, which I haven't told you about, The Beautiful Workout. And there's three great workouts on there. There's what's the first one? The first one's called Easy Fit. Yeah, Easy Fit. And then we've got Fantastic. And the third one is Super Explosion. Three amazing workouts. And Kate Lane and Karen Morris are both on the workout. If you want to see Kate Lane's legs and Karen's legs, actually, but Karen's not in question here because we told you already how great her legs are. Ooh. Kate Lane has great legs.
Just why to clarify, are you saying that my legs are in question?
Well, we were saying they were in question, but I think you have some great legs also.
Thank you very much.
You need to elaborate on that, and why don't you wear shorts more?
Because I don't like them. We've had this argument a lot of times.
Discussion, not argument.
Discussion.
Debate.
Debate, yes, good word.
Wait, I think the conversation as well stems to what you feel comfortable in, and Kate doesn't feel comfortable in shorts, so she's not going to work out teaching them.
Karen, I need the lycra.
I need that lycra.
You need lycra. All right, we've got to wind it up now. So have we given everybody all the information that we need to give them?
Yes.
Yes, I think so. You can't stress how much preparation means to your own self-confidence and to delivering a good class, especially in the early stages. Yourself, Noelle, been teaching for years, you're fine. Preparation is not as essential as it is to a new teacher.
Preparation is essential to anybody, whether you're a new teacher or not. I prepare, because I said earlier on, I can go into a class and do this and that. I prepare in my head. I as I'm driving to the class or walking to the class or wherever the class may be, I know what I'm going to do in my head and I deliver it. Also, another thing I do, and I think Karen was a person who, I don't know who it was, but somebody said this earlier on, is that you've got to give yourself time. I think Sheila said that about the music, going in early to make sure the music system's working. But it's also about time for yourself. So you have that time to gather your thoughts in your head, calm yourself down on things that have been going on throughout the day in your life, and giving yourself that space and making sure you're ready to teach your class, because your students come first. And if you put your students first, then your fitness would build within that. Also, I want to add that the girls mentioned that they spend a lot of time teaching their students and the class is not there for themselves. But when I train these guys, I train them, Karen, Kate and Sheila, I train them at a very high level, and they're constantly working themselves to a high level. So when they teach, they know exactly what you're going through and what they're putting you through. And I always say to them, you can't put people through the fire if you haven't been there yourself. And they go there themselves regularly. So that's, I wanted to add that bit in. And we're going to wind it up now, because I think we've said way enough. And you're listening to the Lofu Fitness Lifestyle Podcast, Episode 2. Catherine was missed, but she will be with us, or she will be with me, next time round. We'll see you guys soon.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Signing out.